Do you know that all C3 churches must have a prayer meeting happening? It's part of their DNA and culture. It's like a thing you've got to be praying. And I love that about C3. The other thing you've got to be doing is outreaching too. And we were doing both those things before we joined C3, but I love how that is mandatory. And the sad thing is there are quite a few churches that don't do prayer meetings and don't do outreaches. But they're not part of C3. But anyway, so this is all the stuff that's happening leading up to Easter. Who's been up to the prayer room so far to pray, not just on a tour? Who's been up there to pray? Oh, good, that's more hands than last time. If you haven't been up there yet to pray, you can avail yourself of that opportunity. Just get the code from the info desk and you can pray up there anytime, 24/7. So that is very exciting. So I just want to talk a little bit briefly about prayer and fasting before we get into the word. We're going to get into the book of Daniel soon. And people ask me, you know, if I'm in a cafe and they say long black when they see me come in, I say, no, I'll have a herbal tea. And they're like, what? What's wrong with you? And I'm like, oh, we're doing our prayer and fasting. And they always say, why? Why do you fast? And I thought, that's actually a really good question. Why do we fast and pray? We pray and fast because we want to get closer to God. It's like we deny the natural realm to invoke the spiritual realm. Now, a lot of religions fast. Even people who aren't religion, some of them are health gurus and they fast for that reason. But we fast as a spiritual tool. We're not on a diet trying to lose weight. Well, you can do that as well if you want, but that's not what fasting is about. Even in pre-European times, some of the Maori people apparently practiced fasting as a spiritual tool. So when we fast, we're denying our own fleshly appetites, we're subduing our sinful nature, and we're seeking afresh after God. And we even use the meal time that we would have eaten the meal to go and pray. That's a great idea. And then it shows us often how cluttered our lives become and how our priorities can so quickly get messed up. Prayer and fasting helps reset our priorities and bring fresh passion for God. And you don't do 2 weeks of prayer and fasting without something significant happening in the spiritual realm. Because prayer and fasting is warfare. And it's so worth it because we gain spiritual ground for God. So our title today is Connecting with God. And I didn't give you my PowerPoint, did I? Oh, well, I spent so much time on it too. It was really nice. Connecting with God. Write that down. Connecting with God. We're talking about prayer. Every day, you and I need to connect with God. And let's pray right now. Father, I thank you that you're with us right here and right now. And I pray that you would put a fresh desire to seek after you into every heart in this place. Oh God, not my words, but yours, in Jesus' name. Amen. You and I need to connect with God. Tell the person next to you, I need to connect with God. Tell your second choice on the other side, you need to connect with God. That's right. And who remembers Pastor Joy, who comes every year? Well, her dad wrote a book called Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. Actually, she wrote it after he died using his stuff. And I've been reading that. It's pretty amazing. And Pastor Phil Pringle's book, If, The Art of Prayer. I'm pretty sure both of those are in our church library, which is up the stairs. Come in during office hours and you can avail yourselves of the church library. It's amazing. There's so much stuff up there. Prayer is a weapon. The most powerful weapon a Christian has. That's why when we pray, it is warfare. We can pray to God anywhere, anytime. We don't have to have our eyes closed. Please don't if you're driving or riding a bike. We can connect with God. We don't have to be on our knees. You can be if you want. We can pray in the spirit, in tongues. We can pray with our minds, in English or whatever your first language is. It is a privilege to pray to the Lord Almighty. We can pray alone. That's individual prayer. We can pray with others. That's corporate prayer. That's a prayer meeting right there. We don't have to pray. We get to pray. And it is such a privilege to be on a first name basis with the Creator of the whole universe. It is amazing that I can know God Almighty and talk to Him. And He even talks back. How awesome is that? We don't pray out of some religious sense of obligation. We pray because we want to spend time with Jesus and we are hungry for him. And when you know God and you're in relationship with him, then praying to him is the most natural thing in the world. Because we pray to a living God, a speaking God, and he hears us and he answers our prayers. He talks back to us. It is so amazing that God can hear millions of people with different languages all praying to him at the same time. And he can hear them and answer each one personally. To him, it's as though only one person is praying. So if we pray here, like on Wednesday night at our prayer meeting, and our prayers are going up to God, it's not like God is going, shh, oh no, too much information. Shut up, you Kiwis, I've got Cho and all the Koreans in my ear. Just stop, stop. No, he can take it all. He is so big, he can absorb it all. We don't have to wait our turn after the Koreans. We'd be waiting a long time because they're always praying on Prayer Mountain in Seoul, Korea. We just need to call on him and he answers us right there. And so we just want to get into God's presence and hang with him. You can pray any way you like. Prayer is just talking to God. You don't have to pray particular words. Some people look quite intense when they pray. Oh, God! It just looks like you need more fiber in your diet, that's all. You don't have to be intense. And you can think, chill, man, you're getting wrinkles right there on your face. We pray because point number one, God commands us to pray. Write that down. Point number one, God commands us to pray. He requires prayer from his people. Matthew 6, so I've got about five scriptures here. Matthew 6, verse 5, Jesus said, when you pray, this is his teaching on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray, if you get around to praying, if you feel like it. He said when you pray. So he expects us to pray. That was Matthew 6, 5. Also Matthew 26, 41, Jesus said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The third scripture, Luke 18, verse 1. Again, Jesus, he's telling his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Fourth scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. That was easy. That's a good memory verse right there, only two words. Pray continually. And last one, Ephesians 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So God commands us to pray. He requires prayer from us. He requires us to be talking to him, listening to him, in relationship with him. And it's impossible to be in relationship with God without some dialogue and interaction. Alan's at Coast right now, but after Coast, you know, we'll come home this afternoon and we actually talk to each other. If I never talked to him, if we did not have dialogue and interaction, we would not have a very good relationship. If I didn't ever speak to him or listen to him, if I just waved at him. You know, like we actually need a bit more than just some waving. We actually need a conversation. And that's like us and God. The more we talk, the closer we are and we feel. God has ordained prayer as a means to seeing his will be done on earth. And John Wesley said, God does nothing on earth save in answer to believing prayer. God does nothing on earth except in answer to believing prayer. God could do it without involving us, but he chooses to involve us. So you and I can pray the will of God into being on earth. And I believe God is calling us as a church, C3 City Church, afresh to prayer, to personal prayer in our own lives. He is calling us all to lift our game in this area. Even if you've been praying faithfully every day for years, as many of you I know have, we can all press into God more. You know, we wonder why the Western church as a whole lacks power, lacks spiritual power. You go over to the developing world, there's signs, wonders, miracles breaking out everywhere because they press into God. This is how we get spiritual power, through spending time alone with God in prayer. And who's a Pentecostal today? Give me a hoorah. Oh, that was a bit of a weak hoorah. I think you need a little bit more power. Give me a hoorah. Oh, yeah, that was better. We do well, us Pentecostals, to remember that the original day of Pentecost was accompanied by 120 people who were in a prayer meeting. Now, we know Pentecost was a sovereign act of God. The Holy Spirit came down. But we must also note the human element of prayer. We each need to have a personal conviction about prayer. We need to have a personal conviction. Now, sometimes we can beat up on ourselves. We can feel condemned. I don't pray enough. Oh, I suck. I'm so useless at prayer. I'm such a loser. But we actually just need to encourage ourselves to keep going. No one has a perfect prayer life, but we need to keep seeking God. We need to have a conviction about prayer, a conviction that says, I need to pray. I need to spend time in the presence of God every day. The Bible teaches it, and as a disciple of Christ, I need to make it a priority. Because if we don't have a personal conviction about prayer, we won't do it. Prayer is one of the two principles upon which I believe the church needs to function. The other one is preaching the word. We see this in Acts 6, verse 3 and 4, when there was a problem arising in the early church amongst the Grecian widows, and there was a bit of racism and prejudice and favoring of Hebrew widows, not the Grecian widows. So the answer, the apostles said in verse 3 and 4, choose seven men among you who are known to be full of wisdom in the Spirit. We'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Those two things are vital for us. The failure of any church or any pastor is in direct proportion to their failure to use prayer and preaching the word for advancing the kingdom. So often we're like, oh, I don't like prayer, it's too hard. But prayer is work, because we are pushing through the natural realm and breaking into the spiritual realm. It's not easy at first when you're developing a daily prayer habit. Satan will do anything he can to distract you from prayer. You're walking around your room, you're praying in tongues, sakariyaraba, siaraba, shundara, and then you pass the mirror and you're like, oh, is that a zit? Is that, it's a blackhead. And you're just like, you know, he'll do anything to distract you from prayer, because he fears our prayers. Because when we pray, we can move stuff in the spiritual realm, and he fears that. Here's a quote from A.W. Tozer, that famous Christian author. He said, in spite of difficulties surrounding prayer, it is still the highest activity in which a human can engage. The highest activity. So as Christians, the prayer meeting needs to be high on our list of priorities. I go to at least two prayer meetings a week, one at school, although I missed it this week, but normally I'm there, and one at church, at least one at church, because prayer is important. When we work, but when we pray, God works. And I know my own feeble efforts don't accomplish much. I need God to be at work. We all need God to be at work. Tell the person next to you, we need God to be at work. Amen. Point number two, write down number two. Number two, develop your own prayer habit. Number one, God commands us to pray. Number two, develop your own prayer habit. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 11 says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16, 11. So my question to you today is, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Prayer is a powerful force. When we connect with God, praying. Prayer is an activity of your spirit. Prayer is the posture of humility. Pride doesn't pray. Proud people don't pray, because pride doesn't need help. But prayer is saying, God, I need your help. God, I can't do this. God, please help me. It's the posture of humility. Prayer is an activity of our spirit. Don't ever discount the power of prayer. Your prayers have more power than you know, than you realize. You can't pray to the Lord Jesus Christ without something happening. We give birth to things in prayer. We give birth to our future in prayer. Your future is waiting for you to pray it into being. Pastor Phil Pringle says, prayer is the way we forge into the future that God has given us. when we pray, we're actually activating giftings within our lives. And when we pray, heaven's strength and guidance is released to us. We know from reading Ephesians 6 verse 12, we know we're surrounded by unseen spiritual forces, by invisible powers. And when we pray, prayer confronts these spiritual forces and brings the power of God down into our lives and into our homes. Who would like a bit more of the power of God in your home? I would. You will never be greater than your prayer life. Write that down. I will never be greater than my prayer life. Our church will never be greater than its prayer life. When we pray, we are reaching out to God and we are connecting with heaven. We are accessing all of heaven's power, all of heaven's provision. And stuff is released from heaven down to earth. Now, many of us here today do have a daily habit of praying, a quiet time, a noisy time. But there'll be others here, maybe new Christians or maybe young people who haven't got that habit yet, who are yet to form the habit of connecting with God. And that is prayer. Connecting with God is vital to our growth as a Christian. And if we will practice this habit of connecting with God daily, our daily prayer habit, we will shake the gates of hell. If every believer could get a hold of this and practice it, half our personal battles and struggles will be won. So we can choose to live in our own strength, or we can invoke the supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit through prayer. If we can just develop a daily prayer habit, it will break the power of other bad habits in our lives. The way to replace a bad habit is to replace it with a good habit, and prayer is powerful. The discipline you use to get up early and seek God's face, or whatever time of the day it is, and set aside time to pray, that'll help you in other areas to break bad habits. Now, a lot of people say, well, yes, I do pray. I pray in the car on the way to work, and I think that's great. I pray then too. But if that's the only time you pray, I think that's a bit sad. Because God wants our undivided attention. If the only time I ever talked to Alan was while I was busy actually concentrating on something else, then he would not feel very valued. We've got to have some face-to-face time. Kanohi te kanohi, I think the term is face-to-face time with God. Let's honor the King of the universe with our undivided attention. Let's incline our ears to hear his voice daily. Tune in to his voice. We incline our ears to so many voices every day. The news, social media, internet, a TV, radio, friends, our workmates. The voice of your mother is always in your mind. But what about the voice of the Lord Jesus? Do we even know his voice so well as to recognize it? He wants to speak to us every day. But do we stop long enough to tune in and listen? We say we love God, but how much do we actually love him if we seldom spend time with him? What priority do we give him with our time, with our schedules? Does he get first place, the best time, first thing in the day? Or does he just get the leftovers? And how does Jesus feel when if we largely ignore him? If we give him like fourth place in our lives, there's family, there's work, there's the pets, and then there's Jesus. Right down there after pets. And after all, Jesus has saved us from. He saved us from sin and death. He's been to the cross. The least we can do is love him and give him the first and best place. And love is spelled T-I-M-E, time. So today I want to encourage all of us to connect with God on a one-on-one every day. I, for one, don't ever want to neglect him. And this call to prayer is also a call to maturity. It's a call to strength. It's a call to discipline. The reality is, for many Christians in the Western world, the only time we ever spend in God's presence is 15 or 20 minutes on Sunday mornings. I say 15 because often people are late and miss the first song, but not today because we've got an extra hour. You know, sometimes it's only that 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. It's the only time in the week we're actually in God's presence. And the rest of the week we're filling up on spiritual junk food, which doesn't feed or nourish our spirit at all. And then we wonder why, I just don't feel close to God. I just don't feel his presence like I used to. I wonder why I'm just constantly struggling with temptation. I just can't hear his voice. I wonder why. How we need to connect with God daily. He has been so faithful to us. The least we can be is faithful to him in prayer. Tell the person next to you, I'm going to connect with God. And we're in Daniel now. Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 6. I love Daniel. Now, I wanted to read the first 6 chapters of Daniel to you, but because of time, I knew I couldn't. So, just have to summarize it somehow. The first half of the book of Daniel is about Daniel's life. It's like a story. The second half's like amazing. As you know, it's like prophetic stuff. So, I've been reading Daniel lately, and it's so amazing. Daniel was such a man of prayer. And, you know, in chapter 6, there was an attempt made on his life by all these guys at work who were jealous of him and they were so insecure, they tried to take him out. They wanted his job. And they were looking for some dirt on Daniel. And they couldn't find any dirt on Daniel because there wasn't any. Because the guy loved God. And so they said, the only way we're going to take him out is it'll have to be something to do with his God because he is so totally devoted to his God. So they, you know, as you know, they tricked the king into a bit of an ego trip. King, we're only going to worship you for like a whole month. Everyone's going to pray to you and you alone. And the king thought, oh yeah, I could deal with that. So he signed it off. Yeah, and now it's law. And then they came to the king, 120 of them, no pressure, bit of intimidation, 120 of them lined up and said, oh, king, remember that law that you made that can't be changed? Well, Daniel is just obeying your law, and he isn't praying to you, he's praying to his God. And the king was like, God! And he realized what had happened. They had tricked him, and he felt so stupid, and he was so angry because he loved Daniel, and he respected Daniel. And this is what happened when Daniel heard about this new law. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had always done. He didn't care if he lived or died. He was just going to keep worshiping God. By this stage, he was an old man. But all through his life, he had worshipped the Lord. And we see that he was a young immigrant taken to a godless place. But he was a man of prayer and fasting. We see in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel resolved not to defile himself. And he fasted. We're going to be doing that too. There's actually 2 types of fasting in the book of Daniel. People talk about a Daniel fast. So I'm like, which one? But there's one in chapter 1. There is another one right at the end in chapter 10. Which you can choose which Daniel fast you can do if you want to do one of those. I love Daniel. I can't wait to meet him in heaven. When I get to heaven, just after I slap Adam and Eve, I'm going to find Daniel and give him a big hug and say, thanks, bro, for standing firm in prayer. You're such an amazing example to us. I love Daniel. And, you know, Daniel spent so much time with God and he had a lifelong habit of spending time with God and he wasn't going to be intimidated by some law. He just kept spending time with God. And because he spent time with God in prayer, he connected with God every day. Actually, not just once a day, 3 times a day. He could hear God's voice. And he could tell what God was saying. So he got a download from heaven. He got interpretation of dreams. He chose to spend a night with the lions rather than miss a day in prayer. What a guy. The cumulative effect of Daniel's prayers over his lifetime was powerful. He made a stand as a young guy, then back in Daniel chapter 1, and then right at the end here of his life, near the end of his life, God answered Daniel and saved him from the lions. God even answered the unbelieving king's prayer in this chapter 6. The king said, as Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, the king said, may your God, whom you serve continuously, rescue you. He's kind of praying a prayer, but he doesn't know how to talk to God, this king, Darius. So he's sort of saying it to Daniel. But it's a prayer, and God answered. God heard that, and God answered it. Because Daniel was saved. And Daniel said, the Lord sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions. And I look at Daniel's whole life, and he was a man of God, a man of prayer and fasting. He was a great witness to three different kings of Babylon all through his life. And he was an influence in the most powerful empire in the world. He influenced people toward God because he was a man of God. Even in that godless environment, he sought God daily. And the result was incredible longevity and influence. And it was his prayer life that sustained him, his inner life that sustained his outer public service and ministry. His prayers he prayed all through his life had an impact in his future. Don't underestimate the effect that your prayers today will have on your life tomorrow. Don't underestimate the power and influence that your life will have on others if you are a seeker of God. Even if we set aside 5 minutes a day to pray and then another 5 minutes to read or listen to a chapter of the Word, we will notice a huge difference in our day and in our lives. Because the more we hang with God, the more we become like Him. We all know that we become like the people we spend time with. That's why our parents are worried when we're teenagers if we're hanging out with a bad crowd, peer pressure thing. Proverbs 13:20 says it, he who walks with the wise grows wise. So we actually become like those we hang around. This explains why after a while people even start to look like their pets. Have you ever noticed that? People with hairy dogs start to look kind of hairy. People with cats start to look smug and grumpy. I was worried when we had guinea pigs. Protruding front teeth. But it's like that. The more we spend time alone with the Holy Spirit, the more we become like Him. We get a download of the oil on our lives. And we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we become easier to live with. And we're sleeping better at night because we're not worried about stuff all the time like we used to be, because we've given it over to the Lord to carry in our prayer time rather than us carrying it all. He is our burden bearer. When we take time to stop this frenzy of activity and get alone with Him and listen for His voice, He speaks to us. He softens our heart and changes us. He fills us with His joy. In your presence is fullness of joy, it says in Psalm 16, verse 11. Not partial joy, not a memory of joy, fullness of joy. If the band could come, please, that'd be great. And then we become a walking ad for God. And we others want what we have because they see it in our lives. When we take time in God's presence, it has an immediate effect on us. We're not as grumpy at work. We're not snapping at the wife or the husband or our kids. Did you know prayer can even help your marriage? I shared this bit of research with you a few years ago, but I'll share it again. There was a survey at a USA research center by sociologist Andrew Greeley, and he reported it was found with many married couples that praying together is the tie that really binds. He said this, spouses who pray together report greater marital satisfaction than those who don't. And that frequent sex coupled with frequent prayer make for the most satisfying marriages. So turn to your spouse and say, we need to pray together more. If your spouse is indeed here. We as Christians have the answer to great lasting marriages. Lots of prayer and lots of sex. And you heard it first here at C3 City Church. But seriously, we need to develop an appetite for the presence of God, like Daniel did. Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door to you, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Other versions say, when you go into your room, your private room, your closet, your chamber, do you have a place where you meet with God? If you have a place, then you're far more likely to meet with God. Daniel had a place in his room, his upstairs room, and he'd open the window towards Jerusalem and he'd pray there. Jesus would go out while it was still dark early in the morning to a mountain or somewhere outside. Isaac went to the open field. Peter prayed on the roof. Where is your place? Your secret place? Your prayer closet? Where do you meet with God? When you establish a place where you're alone with God and you meet Him there daily, soon you'll find His presence is already there before you get there, waiting for you. He is looking forward to that time every day where He meets with you. I know when I get into my room or in the lounge early in the morning before people are awake and just start praying in tongues, walking around praying in tongues, and then I go and stand in a corner and then I just can feel the presence of God. And I just stop praying and I receive. And then I know how to pray and what to pray for because I've got there into the presence of God. But He's already there waiting for us before we even come. Because to be intimate with God, we need to be alone. To conceive and bring forth new life, it starts with being intimate and alone. It's the same with God. Fruitfulness and new life all begin with intimacy. Nothing happens without intimacy. We want the results. We want the fruit. We want the power, the anointing. But we don't want to bother with getting alone with God and with intimacy. Well, I don't have time with that. For that. I don't have time for prayer. But if we don't have intimacy with God, we have nothing. It all starts with Him, connecting with God daily. Let's stop waiting for the spare hour to spend with God and start using the spare 5 minutes or 10 minutes that we do have. Stop waiting for the spare hour you don't have. Use the spare 10 minutes you do have. Turn off Facebook, Fakebook, and Instagram, and then you'll have some spare time. Turn off Facebook and get your face in His book. Put some worship on the phone and just receive from Him. And then we become a conduit for the power of God. And who's heard of a guy called George Mueller? He was a German guy who was born about 200 years ago. And he wasn't a Christian. He used to mock Christians and laugh at them. And just he was a hard-drinking, gambling party guy. But then someone invited him to a Bible study. He thought, I'm going to go along and just have a good laugh at all of those stupid Christians. And he went along, but he really enjoyed it. And he went back, and he went back, and he got saved. And everybody started noticing his changed life. And then he wanted to serve God. And so he went to Bible college, but his dad kind of disowned him and said, oh, you're going to be a preacher, and you're getting no money from me. So he went to prayer, and he prayed that God would provide. And then straight after praying, there was a knock on the door of his room, and then there was a professor, a lecturer there, offering him a job tutoring. And he thought, this prayer stuff really works. I'm going to keep doing it. So he prayed. But back then, they had to go into the army for a year. He didn't want to go. He just wanted to go straight to England and minister because God had called him to. So he prayed that he wouldn't have to go into the army and that he could just go straight to England. So he came down with this terrible illness and nearly died. But the result of it was he didn't have to go into the army. And he went straight over there, recovered from the illness, and started pastoring. And this guy pastored in the same church for over 66 years. Would you get sick of his sermons? 66 years. And he started noticing all these kids running around all the time in Bristol. Now, in 1834, only 3,600 orphans in England were cared for in orphanages. Twice that many children under 8 years of age were in prison. And he thought, this is terrible. We've got to do something. We've got to do something. He wasn't satisfied just leading his church to be prayed. He said, God, I need a building. I need furniture. I need food. And he saw God provide when he prayed. He ended up caring for 10,000 orphans. He lived till he was 92 years old. Many other orphanages were started later because of him. One day, there was no food. 300 kids were there in the orphanage at the time. And the nurse said, there's no food. And he said, just get all the kids in and sit them in the dining room tables. We're going to pray. And so they said, thank you, Lord, for giving us food. Said grace. Right then, there was a knock on the door. And a milk truck had broken down outside. And he said, oh, here's milk, more than enough for all the kids. And a baker came, and the baker said, I could not sleep all night. I really felt I had to bake heaps of bread for you guys. Here it is. And he knew God answered prayer. He did way above what he could ever have accomplished because he was a man of prayer. Let's stand together this morning. I want to encourage all of us to connect with God every day of our lives, to set aside that time. It's a sacrifice. Some of us, we don't have the time. We're going to have to take that time away from another place, from our sleep, from our social media, from our TV. We're going to have to take the time because this time is important. But Father, I pray right now you would speak to all of us and that we would be responsive to you calling us into the secret place of prayer. God, I pray we would respond to you calling us to corporate prayer in the prayer meetings. Father, I pray that we will form lifelong habits, not just this week of prayer and fasting or next week, but lifelong habits of daily connecting with God. In Jesus' name.